I'm Lee Blue, and this is Double Stack, where WordPress freelancers discover the tech stack and the business development stack to become high-value, sought-after WordPress consultants. So if you're tired of burning yourself out with those high-stress, low-budget projects, and you're ready to start working with clients you love at the rates you're really worth, then you're in the right place. All of this is 100% free, so please subscribe to and review our podcast. Five things to think about before you start blogging. That's the topic for today, and we're going to go through five questions to ask yourself if you're going to begin any sort of blogging campaign, whether it's for yourself or your clients. We're going to be talking about what to write about, what to expect as a result from the blogging, and all of that great stuff. So if you're thinking to yourself that you've been hearing a lot about organic leads and trying to do content marketing to try to get yourself indexed on Facebook or on Google or whatever, then that's what today is all about. Because I want to get in there and say, well, is this really going to be an effective, fruitful thing for you to be pursuing, or is it sort of confusingly misguided? So I've got five questions to go forth with today, and that will kind of help get some clarity on whether or not this is going to be the right thing for you. If so, what you should be blogging about and what kind of results you ought to expect from doing that. And let's jump into it. So the first question is, are you blogging for yourself or are you blogging for your clients? Is this going to be a B2B style blog or a B2C? So it's like, are you blogging for a business to consumer business or a business to business business? It's a lot of businesses. So that's the big question to ask. And if it's a business to consumer type of a situation, which most of the time when you're working on behalf of a client, it's almost always a business to consumer, not always, but almost always business to consumer, meaning you're working with your client is like a real estate agent or runs a local restaurant or does some kind of, chiropractic care, or doctors or dentists or, construction. Well, anything like that where your client is trying to reach other consumers, it's almost always a good idea to start blogging about it. And so what will happen with the blogging is you'll start generating leads from that. And that's why it's a good idea. So the organic leads that come in from that type of an initiative will be good leads for you, especially if you blog about stuff that people care about. So for example, if you're working with a local restaurant, it's a good idea to blog about that because you're going to get some traffic to the restaurant. And not a whole lot of people do blogging for local restaurants, but I think at least to some degree, it's a fruitful thing. And for an example would be like, say you were working with a Mexican restaurant. Like, I think a really good topic for a blog post for a restaurant would be like how to eat at Mexican restaurants, even if you're gluten-free, something along those lines. Or if it's a Chinese restaurant, it could be like how getting great Chinese food, even with a peanut allergy, like some kind of a long tail topic like that. Because what will happen is people who, like, I live gluten-free, like, a lot of my daughters, they have gluten sensitivity. And so when we go out to eat, that's a big thing for us. We want to make sure that, nobody's getting hurt and everybody's having a good time. And therefore, we need to find places to eat gluten-free. So if we're going out to a Mexican restaurant, I might literally go out online and be like, Mexican restaurants where you can eat gluten-free in Richmond, Virginia, something like that. And if a blog post came up that was, about how to get Mexican food gluten-free, then I would be very interested in that and be like, oh, look, here's a restaurant that we can go and it's going to be safe for us. And that would be a really great example of blogging being effective in the context of even local search and local restaurants, even though most people don't think that blogging for restaurants is all that effective, because what do you talk about? And that's one of the things that you could talk about. And that would be an effective use of your time. Or like, what if you're working with somebody who like builds decks on people's houses, things like that. Why not blog for somebody like that and make a blog post about how much do decks cost in Richmond, Virginia? Like if the guy works in Richmond and he builds decks, and people will want to know how much it costs. And you don't have to give like an exact price quote on like exactly how to figure out and determine what the price is, because it's going to vary. Like how big is the deck? What are the conditions for where it needs to be? Like how much prep work needs to go? What kind of stuff you want to build it out of? There's all different kinds of woods and materials you can make it out of. So there's going to be ranges. But the point being, hey, can you put somebody in the right ballpark? Can you give some people some ideas as to what to expect and how long does it take? And just what's the experience going to be like? And make it like a definitive guide about that. And now you've got some really great content for somebody that you're working with who builds decks. So the general concept that I'm going for when it comes to business to consumer blogging is answer questions that people need to know before they engage with your business. So like when we talked about, you know, gluten-free Mexican restaurants, that's the kind of thing that, like, if I find a blog post that talks about being in a Mexican restaurant, wanting to have a good time while still staying gluten-free, then I read that post on a Mexican restaurant's website, and then they say, you know, we've got all kinds of things that cater to people that have those needs, then I will feel like, hey, I want to go to that restaurant. So it's attracting me as a potential client. It's telling me what I want to know, and then saying, hey, we're gonna be able to help you out here. Come here, we'll take care of you. That's perfect. That's exactly what you want. Same thing with the deck thing. It's like, I want to know generally how much is it gonna cost? Like, am I in the right ballpark? Can I even afford this? Is it even worth my time to reach out to someone? And if the answer turns out to be yes, because I found somebody blogging about basically what decks cost in Richmond, then that's going to attract me and I will reach out and contact the deck builder person. And so that's a really good example of effective uses of blogging on behalf of your clients because they're in a business to consumer style thing. You know, like that's the situation. Most of the time, though, when you're talking about blogging for yourself, it's a business to business style thing, meaning that you're a business and you're trying to work with other businesses. And a lot of times blogging is at least significantly less effective, if not completely ineffective, or even worse, it actually drives the wrong kind of clients to you, which we'll talk about in a second. But it's not all bad. There are some good qualities for having a blog, even if you're in a business to business thing. Like even if you're a web designer trying to attract clients for your own business, it's not a bad idea to have a blog. And you just need to understand where it fits into the overall marketing strategy that you have. So you don't want to put 100% of your effort into the blog nowhere near that. And for some reasons that we're going to get into in here in just a second, but the big thing to know about blogging in the context of your own business for other businesses that you want to build websites for or do digital marketing for is this: the blog is not going to be a lead generator for you. So just don't think of your blog as a lead generation outlet for your marketing campaigns if you are a web design business and you're trying to connect with other businesses that want to work with you. Especially in the context of what we talk about here in DoubleStack. It's like, don't think of your blog as a lead generator. Instead, it's much more of a social proof thing, meaning that like if a potential client shows up at your website, they're not really going to be reading through the blog post and thinking, oh yeah, what a beautiful way to describe content marketing. Let's work with you. What they're going to do is, they're going to say, oh, like this person has a blog and they're writing some stuff. I don't know what this is, but you know, it looks legit. You know, all these blog posts, it seems to be kept up to date. Seems like a more legit thing than if they didn't have a blog or if all the posts were, you know, 100 years old or something. So that's the thing to know about blogging in the context of a web design business for other clients for you. And that the bottom line is it's not going to be a great lead generator. I'm going to tell you why that is in a second. But it is something that will help kind of bring confidence and let people feel like, oh, I know that this person knows what they're talking about. They have a blog. It seems reputable. So that's the thing to know. The problem is so many people spend a significant amount of time trying to rank organically for keywords. And they think that the way to do that would be, you know, through blogging and content marketing on their website. And it's just a fruitless thing if you are a web designer trying to work with high value clients. It's not necessarily so bad if you're a web designer trying to onboard low ticket clients. That's what I'm going to talk about next, which is like, are you attracting the right type of clients with your blogging? And so that's second. So the first question is, you know, we're going to go through five things. The first thing that we just went through was, is your business business to consumer or business to business? So if you're blogging on behalf of your clients, thinking that, you know, that's going to be a great thing to add to like a monthly retainer, like, you know, creating and maintaining these blog posts or whatever. Great idea. Definitely do that. It's, you know, blogging in a B2C type of a situation. Good. Do it. B2B, on the other hand, blogging for yourself to try to find clients, not so good. And this really begins to uncover. Have you ever felt like you know, you do a great job helping your clients grow and generate leads and business for them. But when it comes to your own business, it's so much harder. Like, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. You know, like, how can, and then sometimes you even take it the next step. Like, how can I go on and tell them that I'll generate business for them when I can't even find leads for myself? And the truth is, you're talking about two dramatically different campaigns in terms of your marketing. You're talking about a B2C campaign versus a B2B campaign. And the blog is just a big part of that. So that was the first question. The second question is, are you attracting the right type of clients? And when in the context of blogging for yourself, then you're going to find that you're probably not attracting the right types of clients. So that's why I said that, you know, blogging for your own business is not going to be a very good lead generation source. It might be something where people that who are already going to your website feel like they feel more confident working with you because you have a blog. So it kind of is like a social proof booster, but it's not a lead generator. And here's why, because when you're blogging, you're going to attract the wrong types of clients if you're blogging about your services. So like if you're out there blogging about digital marketing and what's the right strategy to do keyword research and, you know, what is a responsive design website? You know, what is all that about? Or what is AMP or AMP or whatever for Google? Like what's all that about for mobile devices? Like if you're blogging about the stuff that you know, then you're not going to be attracting the right clients. You're going to end up attracting one or two different types of clients. One type of client would be like the do-it-yourselfer style client that doesn't really quite want to do it themselves. And so they're thinking about, you know, what are some things that I can, you know, maybe do myself or maybe learn a little bit myself. And I don't want to hire anybody very expensive to kind of take care of all that stuff. And so like, if you like, the problem is a lot of times as a web designer, you want to blog about the things that you know and the things that you're learning and the things that you're doing. And the truth is business owners that you really want to work with, they're not actively pursuing that same knowledge. You know, they want someone to do that for them. They want like a done for you service. In fact, they probably don't even know the service at all. And so if you're out there blogging and trying to rank for keywords like Facebook ad campaigns or web design or graphic design or digital marketing, or you know, those types of keywords, you're going to find people that are like the cheap do-it-yourself, low ticket, high stress, high maintenance. You know, I'll just tell you what to do and I just want you to do it cheap. Those types of clients, because those are the people out there searching for those keywords. Your actual clients, like the doctors that you want to work with, like most of my clients tend to be in the medical field in some way, like naturopaths, dietitians, functional medicine practitioners, you know, those types of people, or even other types of people like a health coach or a relationship coach or like marriage counseling or psychologists or people that build decks or local restaurants, like all of those people, none of them are out there searching for digital marketing on the internet. It's like, and even if they were and they found some kind of result, how would they even be able to parse it? Like, how would they even know if what they found was legit or not? Like, it's just not a thing. It's, if you feel like you're blogging and you're doing it based on the services that you offer, and you're going to be attracting the wrong fish, right? It's like fishing in salt water with freshwater bait, something akin to that. Or even worse, maybe fishing in a pond where there are no fish. It's like you're throwing stuff in there and it's just not you're not catching anything. Or even worse, maybe catching the wrong kinds of fish that you can't even deal with. So one kind of client that you will attract by blogging about your services are like the cheap, high stress, low budget, like here's exactly what I need. I just need somebody to do it. And that makes sense too, right? Think about who it is that would be actively, you know, firing up the laptop and searching for stuff and knowing the keywords that you feel like you want to rank for, you know, like keyword optimization or Facebook ad campaigns or responsive web design or WordPress web developer. Like those are the kinds of things that somebody who might think I want a WordPress website might look for, contemplating doing it themselves or hiring you, whatever. That's not who you really want. What you really want are these doctors, dietitians, you know, people that are actively running their business, driving a big impact for their clients, and you want to help promote that. That's where the high ticket consulting comes from. The other kind of client that you will attract if you start blogging for your own business are people that outsource development to other people, like agency overflow work, or people that are starting up an agency on their own, or even like solopreneurs that don't feel like they have all the skills they need and they want to outsource just a component of what they're doing to somebody perhaps like you. And they'll go out there and search for the terms that they need for the project that they're working on. And so then what you end up having is a situation where you have your client is actually not the real client. Like, your client is this person outsourcing the work, and their client is the real client. So the real client is sort of like this friend, Andre, who coined the term my grand client. And I thought that was great because it's like your client, your direct client is this outsourcing person, and their client is the real client. So you're like two steps removed, like a grandparent. And so it's like a grand client. And that's what you'll attract with that. You'll find people that want to just outsource work to you and they want it to be cheap. They generally have it as a low budget, kind of keep the price down as much as possible. They're not open to any business consulting or business development. What they really want is just technical implementation. Leave all the business and strategy to me, that kind of idea. And you do all the work. So you find the people that just want somebody to do the grunt work. That tends to be the two types of clients that you attract when you start blogging. And so in a business to business type of situation, like you blogging for your own clients. So that's the second question to really think about is like, are you attracting the right types of clients with your blogging? Because like we talked about before, if you are working with business to consumers, businesses, and you write a blog post, like how much did X cost in Richmond? And someone's Googling how much did X cost in Richmond? They find an article about that. And they're like, that sounds reasonable. Let's do that. Then you are attracting the right type of client. So you have to really keep that in mind. Like, would your content be bait, so to speak, for the actual types of clients you want to work with? That's question number two. Question number three is, are you just hiding behind your blog? And that's one of the big things that happens so often. It's that people want to feel like they're busy and doing something and making progress, but they don't know what to do. And so consequently, they just blog because, you know, I'm busy. I'm writing a lot of content. I'm doing a lot of stuff. And it's really easy to fall into this trap because On one hand, you want to kind of build credibility, let people know that you know what you're talking about, and just kind of get it out there. And so you blog about it. And of course, nobody reads the blogs, nobody shares your content. It's usually just a repetition of something you've learned from somewhere else. So it's not really revolutionary. It's not like there's nothing new behind it. It's just more noise. But yet you're learning it, you're feeling excited about it, and you kind of want to, you know, ingrain it into your mind even deeper so you write about it, and that tends to be a blog. And so now you feel like you're doing a couple of things. You feel like you're doing something as opposed to just sitting around twiddling your thumbs hoping somebody calls. So you're feeling busy, so at least you're not just doing nothing. You're trying to kind of bake in the stuff that you've learned in your head into some kind of written format, and you're trying to build credibility. And so it's easy to slip into thinking that all of those things matter and you should be doing them. And you begin to put off what you really need to be doing, which is actually reaching out to the customers and the clients that you really want to be helping. And so a lot of times people use their blog as like a shield, as something that they can hide behind because they're in control of it, and they're using it to sometimes even subconsciously procrastinate doing other things that have more impact. And so that's a big question to ask yourself. It's like, is the reason you're considering blogging for your business, is it that you just don't know what else to do and you're just kind of at a loss and you're just, well, I just do something. And then, you know, it's a procrastination tool, or it's the kind of thing where you're going to burn yourself out. Like, you put all of this effort into creating all this content and you don't see any fruit from it, and you're frustrated by that. And then that's, of course, a recipe for quitting and not doing it anymore. And like, how long can you sustain your business without getting the leads that you need, or even getting the wrong kinds of leads? Like, how much longer do you want to do $400 logos all the time or something like that, because you're just getting these cheap kind of outsourced projects or whatever? You know, ask yourself that question. It's like, should you actually be blogging, or are there better things to do? And are you using your blog as kind of like a crutch or like a shield or like just something to do because you don't know what else to do? So as opposed to something that really matters, like when we were talking about with the restaurants and the decks and stuff like that. So third question is, are you hiding behind your blog? The fourth question is, are your prospects actually searching for what you're blogging about? That kind of goes back to some of the other things that we talked about with, are you attracting the right type of clients? But even if you could potentially attract the right types of clients, are the clients searching for what you're talking about? And when they find the content, would they even understand it? So again, let's take our two analogies. It's like, okay, the restaurant articles where you're saying how to eat gluten-free at a Mexican restaurant, or how to get great Chinese even if you have a peanut allergy, or, you know, something along those lines, or how much did Dex cost in Richmond? It's like, those are things that people understand. Like, anybody who's interested in buying a deck or eating at a restaurant or whatever can read that content and understand what it means and say, yes, this is for me. Let me go there and interact with that business, as opposed to trying to explain what responsive design is, or trying to explain what how to score an A+ on some kind of a speed test or whatever. It's like, nobody cares. Nobody wants to read that. It's not on anybody's mind. And even if they did try to read it, it would be it's not intended for them. It's over their head. It's out of their realm of expertise. And you really want to consider that, like, is the audience that you're writing for capable of receiving what you're saying? Would they even understand it? And is the content helpful? So that's another thing. So are your prospects actually searching for what you're writing about is the big question. But even when you do write it, is it actually helpful, or can you get the same content somewhere else? So can they understand it? And the reason I bring that up is most of the time, like when I go to somebody's website and I read their blog and check it all out and everything, most of the time they're just parroting what they've learned from a course they took or other blogs that they wrote, or it's just not original content. It's just much, much more of the same. But when you're doing it, like when you're doing it for yourself, you feel like it's something different, like because you're learning it, it's new to you. You kind of want to put it out there saying that, you know, you're kind of in the club, you know, the deal also. And so it doesn't feel like that, which is, of course, why we're talking about it right now, because this is one of those kind of hidden behind the scenes situations where what's on the surface and how it feels to you as a developer or web designer creating the content might be different from the perceived value from the people finding the content. And so the big question is it even helpful? And so one issue with whether it's helpful or not is, are you creating anything new? Do you have your own perspective on it? Is there anything that you're telling me that I can't get from somewhere else? So that's a big issue of it. And even if it was brand new, brilliant, hot off the press information, do I care? And am I going to do anything about it as the type of person that you're trying to attract with your marketing, right? So like if you're blogging about how to build an awesome website and I'm running a naturopathic center where I also offer maybe chiropractic care, like natural health remedies and things like that, I don't care. I don't care at all. What I do care about is, well, what's the latest stuff going on in the chiropractic world? And what's this Nuka chiropractic thing all about? Is that a real deal? And, you know, what about, you know, turmeric as an anti-inflammatory supplement? You know, is that something that, because that's what my customers would care about when they come to a naturopathic kind of place. And so when I then go to your website and you're telling me about responsive design or how to get an A+ in my Google speed test or something, I don't care at all. Even if you're telling me something that's brand new, fresh, hot off the press, nobody else has said it, you've got all the secrets, you know, you've got really what it takes to make that happen, I don't even care. You know, like it doesn't, that's the thing. It's like that content is not helpful to me because it doesn't answer any questions on my mind. It doesn't help me even figure out if I even want to work with you. And so that's a big question to ask. And so that's the fourth thing is like, are your prospects actually searching for what you're blogging about? And is the content helpful? Would they understand it? And then the fifth question is, how is your blog impacting the mindset of your leads? And this is a really big, big ticket item here. So I saved this one for last because I actually feel like this is maybe the most important one. The B2B versus B2C thing is also way up at the top of the list, but this is, you know, equally there. It's like, what is the mindset of your client based on the content that you're creating? So if you're blogging about your services, like if you're blogging about all the different, you know, trends in digital marketing and things like that, are you positioning yourself in a position where you're becoming a service provider and that you can do, you're implementing the same things that everybody else is doing? Maybe you're a little bit more knowledgeable than the other people because you've got this blog and maybe they don't. But like, what would someone reading your site think you do based on the content that you create? Are you setting yourself up as someone who can literally solve their specific problem in the context of their industry for the outcomes that they're looking for? Or are you setting yourself up as this generic jack of all trades? I can do web design. I can do photography. I can do videography. Here's how you ought to do social media posting. This is what you need to do if you want to do on-site SEO, like all of those types of things. If that's what your content's all about, your readers, the people that you attract with that content, are not going to see you as anything other than just the same guy that does everything else. Like you're in the pool of people that do all of that stuff, which is, of course, highly, highly competitive. Everyone's doing it. Everyone's blogging about the same thing. And it's not going to be an effective use of your content. And the biggest problem is, if it actually generates a lead for you, it's their mindset is not thinking, I need to work with Jim or I need to work with Alex, They're thinking, I need those services, right? That's the big problem. And so if they can't get the services from you, maybe they just learn about what you wrote about and get the services cheaper from somewhere else. And of course, the whole point of this group, the whole point of Double Stack, the whole point of being a high ticket developer or consultant is to shift the light, to shift the spotlight from shining on your services to shining on you. That is the whole shift. And once you make that shift, then you change everything about your business. You can charge dramatically more because you're shifting away from all of these other services where there's all this competition. The price is staying like dropping and dropping because if you charge more for the same services that people are charging less for, you can get away with it a little bit if you have more expertise or if you have a better customer service experience or if you're local versus not being in the same time zone or something like that. You can charge a little more for that, but it doesn't cover like a $4,000 or $5,000 or $10,000 gap. It covers like a $50-$100 gap, something like that. And so if you're shining the light on your business as someone who provides the same services as everybody else, then you're going to have a really hard problem with two things. You're going to have a hard problem getting the pricing to the point where you actually are getting what you're worth. And you're going to have a hard time getting ongoing relationships with your clients. Because as soon as you wiggle one way or the other, you lose them to someone else who will charge less. Competitors can come in and swoop them away. Or sometimes it's not even a recurring type of a service that you're offering, like logo design or website design. You know, like maybe you don't even have any sort of ongoing monthly contracts with your clients because you don't have any sort of, you know, digital marketing services at all. So those are some things to think about. It's like if the content that you're creating because of your blog post or even just your website itself is actually shining the light on the individual services that you're offering, you're missing the concept. What you want to do is take that focus and have it on you. And the way that you do that is you begin to articulate how you can deliver outcomes for your clients. That's the big idea. So it's not the individual services, it's the outcomes that come from having implemented all that stuff successfully. And of course, that's what Double Stack is all about. So if that's the kind of thing that you want to do and kind of shift yourself into this business consultant position, then you're going to be doing two things. You can literally charge like 5 to 10 times more. I mean, this is the move that will take you from like $500 projects to $5,000 projects, or even beyond that, like the $1,000 projects to $10,000 projects, like that level of thing. In fact, that's why we keep doing this whole, you know, five-figure family thing. It's like, the whole point behind Double Stack is to get this thing on your desk. This is the Double Stack five-figure family. I'm mailing this to you as soon as you land a client that is worth $10,000 or more, or 35 or 40, like Jim's clients or whatever. You know, that's the thing. And the key to it is to establish yourself as the consultant. And when you do that, especially if you have the emphasis on the outcomes that you deliver for your clients, more so than the technical services you deliver for your clients, then you can charge 5 or 10 times more. Get yourself one of these things on your desk, feel awesome about the fact that you're helping your clients at a whole new level, and you're shutting the door to all the other competition. And the reason you're shutting the door to the competition is because when you're saying, hey, I can build you a website, a logo, a brand, or whatever, other people can do that too. And if you're too expensive or for whatever reason you're not available, they can say, oh, well, I don't need to go work with Jim. I can go work with, you know, anyone else. What you want, though, is you want people to say, it's not that I need the website or whatever. Anybody can do that. What I really need is you, because you're the one who's putting that multi-skill set approach together and showing me how to combine all of this stuff into something that really matters. And now you've raised your price, justified dramatically higher pricing, closed out the competition because nobody else is doing it the way that you're doing. And that is the secret. That's the golden nugget, guys. That's what it's all about. So if you feel like that's what you want to do and you want some help figuring out what that looks like in the context of your skill set, where you live, the kinds of markets that you're interested in, the kind of pricing that you want to put together, the kind of services you want to be offering, like how do you combine all of that together? That's the whole point of Double Stack. And the first stack is the tech stack, where you and I really look at what are we working with? We put all the pieces on the table like a puzzle. And if I notice that there's some missing pieces, then I'll help you out with it. I'll show you 15, 20 things that you can be doing so that you have an emphasis on the business development aspect of working with you, more so than the technical development aspect, right? So you want to have both of those things, thus the name Double Stack. You have to have both stacks. You need to make sure you have a strong, secure, foundation from a technical perspective, but you also need to make sure that those tools drive business outcomes. It's not just, hey, here's your logo, now you go figure out what to do with it. You have to answer the question of why does this matter and what do I do with it? What's next? That's the big question. And of course, you should be the one fulfilling the answer to that question. That's the business development stack. So we'll put all the pieces on the table. We'll take a look at it and help. Let me help you fill in the gaps wherever they may be with regard to, hey, Chris, good to see you. Boop, high five. With wherever they may be with regard to the ability to actually reach clients and grow someone's revenue for them with the skills that you have. And then what we'll do is we'll move into the marketing side of things. And then we'll look into like, how do you meet with clients? And then we'll talk about how to write proposals in a new way. And we'll talk about what should the price be for all of those things. And then we'll talk about the business structure that you're building for yourself. So that as you onboard clients, you really only need like 5 to 10 clients total in your entire portfolio in order to generate like $100,000 a year. And it's all in your pocket by yourself before you even have to start worrying about onboarding new like subcontractors or help or employees or whatever. So that's the big picture. And one of the ways that I kind of explain it is, imagine, do you ever feel like you've got all the pieces on the table? Like you can do a ton of things. Like you can do websites, you can do SEO, you can do videography, you can do photography. You know a lot of things that you can be doing and all the pieces are there, and you know that your work is worth a lot because you've even had maybe experience driving results for other people, but you're just not seeing the leads come in and you're just not able to kind of get in front of the right people. And so you've got all these pieces on the table, but you can't put them together just right. And do you ever feel like the reason is no one has shown you the box? You know, we talk about that a couple of times. It's like, wouldn't it be so much easier to put the puzzle together if you could see the big picture and then you could take the pieces and put them together? And that's really that's like the very first step of what we do in Double Stack is we lay out all the pieces. I help you discover whether or not there's some missing components. We make sure that you have everything to be successful. And then I show you the box, like the big picture for you and your business and your clientele and the pricing that you want to charge and the markets you want to pursue. And you know, and that's going to be specific to you. That's why I can't do it right now in an audience of 1,300 people or whatever. It's because it's all about you. And that's why Double Stack at its heart really is a mentoring program. It's not an online course, although there are video training sessions available. You know, but the real thing is you and me working together on all of this stuff, dialing in all of those components to your business so that at the end of the day, you are able to make dramatically more money than you otherwise would be because you're making dramatically more money for your clients. So everybody wins. It's a win-win right on down the line. So that's the big secret. And today we talked about how blogging kind of fits into that, both in the context of blogging for your business and blogging for your client's business. We went through the 5 big questions to ask yourself before you decide to embark upon a blogging initiative. Run through them real quick, just as a quick summary. First question is your business business to consumer or business to business? If it's business to consumer, definitely consider blogging. If it's business to business, there's some gotchas. And then we began to talk about that. Then we talked about, are you attracting the right type of clients with the content that you're creating? Then we talked about, are you just hiding behind your blog? Like, are you using the blog as some way to procrastinate, actually doing what really matters? That's the answer to that is usually yes. Usually people tend to blog for themselves because they don't know what else to do. Or maybe they know what they do, but they just don't want to. And so that's something that I can help you overcome. Like, let's actually put a step-by-step plan in place so that you feel super confident doing what really matters so you don't burn yourself out. So like, if you're going to put your energy into doing something, let's make sure that you're putting your energy in the right direction. So that's a big question. Are you hiding behind your blog? The fourth question was, are your prospects actually searching for what you're blogging about? And would they understand it? Is the content even helpful? The fifth question was, how is your blog impacting the mindset of the clients that you're attracting? And are you shining the light on your services and making yourself just part of the crowd where everybody just does the same thing and you're just trying to, you know, fight to get to the top of the noise or whatever? Or are you changing the game entirely and setting yourself up as a business consultant who can charge dramatically more for your work and who doesn't really have very much competition because you're doing something dramatically different from what everyone else is because you're putting the light and the focus on the outcomes that your clients really want? So if that sounds cool to you, you want to talk more about it and really get this dialed in specifically for your business, head over to doublestack.net/call and pick a time on my calendar. And we'll talk about this one-on-one and figure out what does that look like for you? What is that big picture? Like when you hold up the picture for the puzzle pieces, what does that look like for your pieces? Like for the things that you've got going on with regard to your skills and your knowledge and what you're passionate about and what you like to do and, you know, all of those types of things. And let's put a step-by-step plan in place so that you're charging what you should be charging because you're driving the kinds of results that your clients really, really need and want and really are counting on you for. And that's the biggest point of this whole opportunity. There are so many ways to get cheap websites out there. There's Wix, there's Squarespace, there's Fiverr, there's Upwork, there's cheap WordPress developers everywhere, Craigslist, whatever. And a lot of business owners are falling prey to all of that stuff. And so what that means is they're spending, I don't know, $500 to $1,500 on all these things, and they're not getting any results from it, and it's frustrating for everyone. Wouldn't it be a breath of fresh air if you came along and actually showed them what they really needed to do, save them from all that wasted money, all that wasted time, all that wasted effort, and actually presented something that generates the outcomes that they're really looking for? And when you show up like that, you're going to be charging a lot more, and your clients are going to be thanking you for it. So that's the whole point of us getting together, figuring out how to dial all of this in so that you can go out there and actually save people. You know, it's a mission. It's an important thing, which is why I show up here every week to really get the ball rolling on all of this stuff so that we're actually making a difference for the better for everybody. So high five to everybody. Boop. And head over to doublestack.net/call. Pick a time where you'll see my calendar. Pick a time that works well for you. You'll see a little form after that where you can give me some information about who you are, your website, what kind of business you're running, you know, just some interest. So when we get on the phone, it's going to be a packed full 45 minutes of pure awesome. So looking forward to it. Head over to doublestack.net/call, find a time, and we'll be talking soon. Thanks, guys. Take care. Boop.